Thank you. All right. Good evening. Let's try that again. Good evening. All right. This is the Pearl. You're doing well? Good, because I'd love for you to tell those who are behind you to come a little closer. You've tried that? Thank you so much. They're going to join us because we want to start. So come on up. We want to start. This is an intimate moment where we all share together. And we're not going in a bench behind her so much as we're coming closer. Thank you so much. If you're happy, you know it, say amen. Amen. Thank you again for joining with us. We've been here since Sabbath, and God has been blessing as we've been looking and how to build godly men through the lives of the men of Bible. And we've been walking with a few of the men of the Bible, and I hope you've been blessed so far. We started with Brother Samson, a messed up guy who teaches us that even in our strength begins when we realize how weak we are and how much we need him. What do you say? And then we moved on to Brother Daniel. And Brother Daniel makes it clear that in times of trial, we will be what we have been. So if we want to be solid when trouble comes, we need to be faithful now. What do you say? And then last night we stopped by the doorsteps of the Samaritan, of the centurion rather, who said to Jesus, "Speak the word only." That brother wowed Jesus. Eh? Can you imagine God is waiting to be wowed by you? Oh, come on. Somebody says amen. God is waiting to be wowed by you. God is sitting on the edge of his throne, waiting for you to step out in faith and show to the world that he is indeed worthy to be served. And tonight, we're going to look at the life of another brother. I don't know if he's one of the best characters in the Bible, but we're going to look at him. And I want to direct your attention to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we're going to start at verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. And while you're finding it, bow your heads with me. Loving Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together. Bless the reading and readers, the listening and listeners of your holy word. And we're confident that you will bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 26, verses 6 onward. And I need a few readers. By the way, thank you for that lovely music. And for all the singers during the week, it has been a blessing. What do you say? Matthew 26, verse 6. So who are my readers tonight? Let's see. Matthew 26, starting at verse 6. Let's have a few readers. Who want to begin for us? Go ahead, sister.
And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table.
Reader, who's our next reader? Go ahead. 8 and 9. And when the disciples saw
him, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold."
Who's our next reader? 10 and 11.
"For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always."
Verse 12 and 13.
"For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say unto you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will all be told as a memorial to her."
Amen. Amen. Say amen. 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 A very interesting story, one of the stories of Bible that most, if not all of us, are familiar with. And the reason we're familiar with it in particular is because Jesus himself said, wherever the gospel is preached, you're going to hear it. Amen? And that's why we're talking about it tonight. This woman is a legend because Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, you're going to hear about it. This story, if you read verses 1 onward, tells us that it was about the time of the Passover. And Jesus was in a place called Bethany, which was only about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And he would often find repose and rest there because as much as he was the God of heaven, as much as he was King of kings and Lord of lords, while on earth he had nothing. Can you believe that? The man who made everything while on earth was basically an itinerant preacher who had nothing. And he chose that lifestyle. And the Bible tells us that he decided to stop at a church brother's house and they had a party for Jesus. If you don't know this, let me tell you, Jesus actually went to parties. I see these good Adventists won't say amen, you know. I'm like And this one was in his honor. The point I'm making is this. Jesus had a social life. Amen? And you'd be surprised to know that we would win more people if we would make contact with them in social context. Let them see that we're normal. Let them see that we can laugh. Let them see that we can interact outside of church. Jesus had a social life. So, because he had a social life, he went to a brother's house, and the Bible tells us who that brother was. And that day in particular, a number of individuals surfaced or featured. And I want to tell you about a few of them before we reach where we're going. This story is also found in John chapter 12, and there John gives his perspective. Listen what John says in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Hear what the Bible says in John 12. Then Jesus, according to John 12:1, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was. So we already read about Simon the leper. Now we see Lazarus. There they made him a supper or a party. And notice what the Bible says. Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then verse 3 gives us another character. Then took Mary, in Matthew, I don't think her name is given, but the Bible says her name here is Mary, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, and notice it's described, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, another character, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. So, here we have Jesus attends a party, and at that party we have Simon, we have Lazarus, we have Martha, we have Mary, and the Bible makes mention of Judas. In Matthew, the Bible tells us that the question was asked, to what purpose is this waste? In other words, all this extravagance, what is it for? Can you believe that anybody would spend all of this money on a perfume and then pour it on Jesus? Why are you being so extravagant? Don't you know Jesus doesn't like extravagance? You're wasting your money. You're wasting your perfume. Now, do you think Jesus likes extravagance? Yay, nay, anyone? No? You don't think so? You think so? You think so? What do you mean? Condition on what? He likes things to be nice. You like things to be in order. Uh-huh. Ah. Well, we're going to answer that question as we walk through the Bible tonight. Because the question is, to what purpose is this waste? All this extravagance, what is it for? And the brother who asked it, his name is Judas. Now, what's interesting about Judas, his name means praise. I bet you all didn't know that, right? But which one of you here would name your child Judas? His name means praise. Check the origin of the word. But let us not start with him. Let's back up. The Bible says it was at Simon's house. We are told that Simon, according to Matthew, was a leper. But actually, it says Simon the leper. It's interesting because Simon, who was a Pharisee, had affluence, had influence, was prominent in the community, and one day he caught leprosy. Now, in those days, leprosy was tantamount to what we consider AIDS today. But the difference in those days is whenever you caught leprosy, they didn't care if you were king or pauper. The minute you caught it, you were banished from society. Actually, you had to walk through the town and declare, unclean, unclean, unclean. Imagine if you had AIDS and you had to walk around and tell everybody. That's basically what happened. And it's interesting because he came in contact with Jesus, and Jesus healed him of his leprosy. And two things stand out from this, the situation of Simon. Number one, it is clear that Simon was grateful that Jesus healed him. And that's why he threw the party, which suggests that if God has been good to you, you should have no reservations about praising Jesus Christ. That's why he did it. But the other problem is this. Notice that Simon had been healed, but they still refer to him as the leper. There's some people, my friends, even when God has worked marvelously for you, they won't forget where you're coming from or what was about you. But I got news for you. In the eyes of Christ, Ellen White says, you stand before God in Christ just as if you had never sinned. So, let them talk about you as much as you want. You see, Simon represents the case of those who have suffered from spiritual leprosy. And it doesn't matter how messed up your life was. If God sets you free, you are free indeed. That's why Simon threw a party for Jesus. I wish more of us, I don't know if we realize what Jesus has done for us in rescuing us from sin. Because if we realize how much and what he has done for us, we would have a party every time we come to church. No, I'm serious. Just thanking God for his goodness. Sometimes preachers have to behave like cheerleaders trying to cheer the church on, or the praise team have to guilt you into worship. No, if God is good, you need to praise God. So Simon, spiritual leper, that's what he represents. Whatever your condition, Jesus can heal you tonight. And when he heals you, he sets you free. Doesn't refer to you no more as Simon the leper. You're simply Simon. But now the Bible tells us that Simon, who was a Pharisee, had been healed, and he represents those who are spiritual leper. But you move from him and you go to another character. According to the book of John, Martha was there. And now, you know, I love that church, sister, Sister Martha. Sister Martha is synonymous to what we call, let me see, those of you who are old enough to remember this. Have you ever heard about darker society? Anybody know about that? You know about that, Sister, yeah? But we don't call it that no more. What do we call it now? Community services, something like that. Yes, right. But if you wanted a good community services leader, just call Sister Martha. Every time you find her in the Bible, she's serving. In this story, the Bible says Martha served. In Luke chapter 7, and I think Luke chapter 10, Jesus had to say to her when she said, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me in the kitchen. Jesus had to say to her, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about much things, but Mary has chosen the better thing. In other words, she's a good leader. And we need good leaders in God's church. But notice what Jesus said to her. Before you can serve, you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Many of us are serving, but we haven't sat yet. We have not sat at the feet of Jesus. It's good to serve, but it's even better to sit at the feet of Jesus, because then your service is fueled not by self, not by the accolades of men, not by anything they have to give you, but simply because of love for Jesus Christ. So she represents all the good leaders in our church. We need good leaders. We need good servants. And as preachers, we know, because sometimes when you call in volunteers, you can hardly find anyone to volunteer, but everybody wants everything in church to run like clockwork. Can I get an amen to that one? You know, church pack on Sabbath, but sometimes you can hardly find people to help you run the church. But Martha, you could depend on her. But even if you can, it's first required that you sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, the next character is a good brother. I like this brother. You see, if I were this brother, when I come to church, none of you here could stop me from jumping, shouting, and praising God, saying amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. His name is Lazarus. The Bible says Lazarus was dead, and Jesus raised him. And you know what's interesting about death? You know what's interesting about death? None of us here want to die. Nobody here wants to die. I heard about a man who wanted to kill himself. He decided to hang himself, tied the rope too long. So when he jumped off the tree,
the limb, the rope was too long, so his toes were touching the ground like this, and he started to cry, "Help! Help! Help!" Why are you calling for help if you want to die? Or what about my fellow Jamaican? This one, I my wife loves mangoes. I tell you, she loves mangoes. And it said that three men were on death row. One of them happens to be a Jamaican. And the practice was give them a last meal, and then they put them to rest. So the first one wanted KFC. The second one wanted a bucket of crabs. Rather strange request, you know, but they gave him. They come to the Jamaican and say, "What do you want?" And he said, "Well, I want a bucket of mangoes." They searched and they searched and they searched. They couldn't find no mangoes. He said, I'll wait until mangoes in season. Nobody wants to die. Nobody. And Lazarus died. And it's interesting because the Bible says they thought Jesus was late. But the Bible makes it clear that when you think he's late, he's always on time. What do you say? It's interesting, you know, when God looks at the watch on his hand, I know he doesn't see time like how we see time, because the Bible makes it clear that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day, making the point that if you think that God is late, maybe you're too early, because God only knows one time, and that's on time. And what's interesting, when Jesus comes to the graveside, they said to Jesus, "You're late." Jesus had to remind them, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, if a man's name is resurrection and life, what can you do to him? You take life, you have resurrection. You take resurrection, you have life. Don't tell me my Jesus is not a powerful God. And so Lazarus had been dead. And Lazarus actually represents those in the church who have suffered some form of spiritual death. You may have served once, but because somebody offended you, you decided no more. You may have been active once, but because of some relationship, you've been pulled away from God. You may have just died spiritually, but Jesus is the resurrection and the life tonight. He can help you. But then we move from Brother Lazarus. Remember, Simon, spiritual leprosy. Whatever the condition, Jesus can heal it. Martha, more of a legalist, if you ask me, who is willing to give service, but you first need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Lazarus represents spiritual death. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But then the Bible comes to another church member. Her name is Mary. Now, theologians can debate this as much as they want. Which Mary is this and all of that? I'm going to just stick with what the Bible says tonight. Clearly, this Mary was related to Martha and Lazarus, if the account of John is correct. And the Bible tells us that they said she's a sinner. And by that, they mean that, you know, the Bible, at least the King James Version, has these cute ways of describing people. You know, a sinner means that you're a prostitute, but they didn't want to put it out there like that. Very politically correct. And this sister clearly wanted to show how grateful she was to Jesus for rescuing her from sin. It is believed that she is the one who is featured in John that they basically caught in the very act of adultery. Some believe that. And if she is the one, can you imagine being caught in the very act of adultery? No, that one blows my mind, because there are only a few ways you can catch somebody in the act of adultery. You either stumble upon it inadvertently, which is highly unlikely, because most people will find a private place, eh? Or you are either a part of the act, or you set up the act, because to this day we don't know who the church brother is and where he is. How is it that she's the only one who was caught? And then they bring her to Jesus with stones ready to stone her, trying to put Jesus between a rock and a hard place. But oh, my friends, as I've said many times to wherever in any church I've pastored, you see, if you see Pastor Marsh messing up, before you take me to the church board, before you take me to the church, take me to Jesus Christ. They took her to Jesus, and that was the best decision. Because they thought their rocks would have destroyed her, but they didn't realize that they had brought her to the Rock of Ages. And she found hiding in the Rock of Ages. And the Bible says that she was so appreciative of what Jesus did that she saved an entire year's wages before she deducted tax or anything. And she bought an expensive perfume and lavished it on Jesus Christ. And when she did that, the question was asked, to what purpose is this waste? All this extravagance, what is it for? And the brother who asked that is Brother Judas. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Judas was the most educated of all the disciples. Ellen White says that he was an erudite and he was a good financier. Let me show you how good a financier this brother is. History tells us that in a room like which Jesus was, they would sit around a couch with their hands reclining on the table and their legs pointing out. And the couch was a round couch, okay? And more than likely, Jesus was either sitting, so let's say he was sitting at the edge. The woman would come and was on the floor when she broke it. Chances are Judas did not see the perfume bottle with the Gucci logo on it. But he could say that this was worth 300 pence. The man's nose were so good that he knew the cost of it. And then to belittle the woman, what is this waste for? Because this could have been sold for, and he had the dollar value, 300 pence, and given to the poor, 1 year's wages, and given to the poor. But I believe the poor would only be made poorer, because if Judas had gotten a hold of that, we know what would have happened, because the Bible says, as much as he was a treasurer, as much as he was a financier, the brother was a thief. And he tries to belittle the praise of this woman. Now, honestly, I've been there and I've done that, because I've seen people in church a lot of time praising God. I'm like, why don't you just be quiet? Sit down, you know? Come on, let the church service. But I've come to the realization that I am in no position to judge nobody, because get this, you don't know what God has done for them. So this woman, having experienced that, did all she did, and it was met with ridicule. But here's what's frightening. The Bible says she spent 300 pence. How many? Which is equivalent to what? 1 year's? 1 year's wages. Now, as a Salajan can testify to this, but I don't know. Pastors, we don't make that much money already, but I'm sorry, Jesus. I don't know if I'll be able to give up all of that for you. How many of you here would be willing to give up your entire year's wages for Jesus? As Sister Pearl swallow. you couldn't do it, Sister Pearl? No? 1 year's wage, you know. Imagine if you work $150,000. Would you be able to give it up for Jesus? You might? Praise God. Praise God. Any other volunteers? But she gave up 1 year's wages. Now get this. Read John 11 onward. The Bible tells us that not long after that, they had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Not long after that, they had the Lord's Supper. And not long after that, Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Do you know what 30 pieces of silver could buy? In other words, this woman was willing to sacrifice an entire year for Jesus, but he was willing to sacrifice Jesus for way less than she was willing to do. She sacrificed an entire year's wage, but he sacrificed the Lord for 30 pieces. And that's the brother I'm talking about tonight, Brother Judas. Because as much as he's reckless, he teaches us something valuable tonight. You're either sacrificing Jesus or you're making a sacrifice for Jesus. You are either sacrificing Jesus or making a sacrifice for Jesus. He was willing to sell Jesus for the price of a slave. But she was willing to give an entire year's salary, which symbolized that she was willing to sacrifice everything and anything she had for Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, ladies, where do we stand? Are we willing to make a sacrifice like Mary did? Or are we going to sacrifice Jesus? See, every time we are confronted with serious decisions in this life, we either sacrifice him or we make a sacrifice for him. Every time his holy law confronts you, whether or not to work on the Sabbath or to keep his Sabbath holy, to return a faithful tithe or to hold on to it, to abide by the law that says thou shalt not fornicate, or to ignore it. Every time we disregard our families, or every time we disregard our responsibilities to God, we're either sacrificing Jesus or making a sacrifice for him. That's why I love that song that says, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Think about it. What have you given for him? He gave everything for you. What have you given for him? Tonight, make that sacrifice. Please, don't sacrifice Jesus. Stand with me. Loving Lord, thank you that at whatever stage in our spiritual experience we are, you can be to us more than we can imagine. If we're suffering from the spiritual leprosy of sin, you can heal us tonight. Lord, if we are bogged down with service, you want us to sit at your feet. If we are dying spiritually, and even if we're dead, you are still the resurrection and the life. And Father, you want us like Mary, not like Judas, to make a sacrifice for you tonight, giving everything simply because of the marvelous redemption that you have provided for us through Jesus Christ. Please help us, O God, not to be like Judas, who was not willing to make that sacrifice, but turned his back on his Lord and sold him for nothing. Help us to be like Mary. And help us, Lord, to be extravagant with our praise, and with all that you've given us, that we will extravagantly give it back to you. Because when we do this, it will not be a waste. On the contrary, you have promised that you will reward us tenfold when Jesus comes again. Thank you for each individual bound before you tonight. And I pray that each one of us will examine ourselves carefully
and make that sacrifice that's needed. This we pray in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Look forward to seeing each and every one of you on Friday. But we are inviting you, though, to come out tomorrow. There's no meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow is our regular prayer meeting service tomorrow. Today's meeting. We're inviting you to come out tomorrow night for a regular Wednesday night meeting. Wednesday evening meeting. Tonight. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. I see what you guys are trying to do right now. Thursday night. You guys are trying to confuse me here. We're looking forward to see you tomorrow. Come out and be blessed. Were you blessed tonight? Amen. Thank you very much for coming.